Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 24, where we see that Pastor Dave will be sharing the foundation by which Calvary Chapel Westside is founded on: God's Word, the fellowship of the saints, and prayer. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 24.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. It's great to have you with us. We're calling this Sunday morning Vision Sunday, and I think it's got a little bit more hype than what needs to be here. But we'll go over some things that I want to share with you here today that I feel like God is leading us in, that He is directing us in. Here is your leadership. And we're going to be a little bit all over the place as far as Scripture goes. For the most part, you know, the Scriptures that I do share, they'll be on the screen behind me. I'm not sure I have an exact order, but the guys in the back will do their best to keep up with me here and to put up the verses that I share. But when I share, I'll give you the references so that you can write these things down. You can spend time with them later, review them, pray over them, let the Lord minister them to your heart. But let's do this morning. Since there's no real text necessarily that we're going to preach out of, let's just pray right now in the beginning, ask the Lord for His blessings, and then I'll give you the direction that I'm going in this morning. So Jesus, we give you thanks for this time that we can come together in your house to worship you. You are the center of everything, Lord, here at this church. You are our focus, and you are what we build everything upon. You are the solid rock. And in a world of shifting, sinking sand, God, we are so grateful that you are that solid rock for us. We build our lives on you. We build our lives on the truth, the precepts of your word. We thank you for the power of your Spirit and the moving and the leading of your Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, that you would direct our church always in this service now, particularly, but also, Lord, in everything that we do, Lord, in the future, from here going forward. We ask that everything that we do, Lord, would be according to your will, your eye, that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. On Thursday afternoon, I was outside with my youngest Harper. She's riding her bike in the front of the house. And then I wasn't really planning on doing this. I was doing yard work, and she snapped on her helmet and rode down the driveway into the street. So I sort of followed her to the end of the driveway and watched her just ride along there. And I noticed my neighbor, who's elderly. She's probably close to 90 years old. And I noticed her at the end of the road talking to a car. I didn't recognize the car. It ended up being one of my other neighbors that is newer to the track that lives on the other side of this elderly neighbor. I'm going to call her Mrs. M. I want to protect her identity in case any of you know her, and I don't want to, you know, talk about somebody that might not want me to talk about them. So I'm just going to call her Mrs. M. So I'm going to still talk about her, even if she doesn't want me to talk about her. She just won't know it. So I'm going to call her Mrs. M. She's at the end of the road, and she's talking to my other neighbor. And my other neighbor, who I didn't recognize, you know, yells out some 40, 50 feet away. She sticks her head out the window. She says, "Hey, make sure she gets home." So I said, "Who gets home?" And she says, "Make sure she gets home." At this point now, Harper has caught up to where this is all going on. So I thought she was talking about my daughter, Harper. So she sort of peels away, and I walk up to the scene where Mrs. M and my daughter are, and I go over there, and I say, "Is she talking about you, Mrs. M?" And she says, "I don't know." She says, "I don't know who she's talking about, but look at this grass. It looks terrible. There's crabgrass. You know, it was never like this before." And now, her lawn is immaculate. It's like a golf course. So she's really bugged out by what the new neighbors have done on the corner with their lawn. You know, she's starting to vent to me about it. So I'm thinking, man, she's still got all of her marbles. She is sharp as could be. And then she started saying certain things that made me think, wait a minute. Am I losing some of my marbles, or is she losing some of her marbles? Like, I don't know what's going on here. As Harper's saying, "Daddy, I want to keep riding. Daddy, I want to keep riding." So I got this thing going on, and she's talking to me, and she's getting distracted. And then I'm asking her these questions about other things, and I can tell by her answers they're a little blurred. I'm thinking, okay, something's not right. So I said, "Are you supposed to go home, Mrs. M?" And she said, "No, I'm fine. I told my husband I'm going to my friend's house." So I said, well, where's your friend's house? She said, just a couple of doors down, I'm going to walk to, and then I'm going to go home. I said, are you sure? She said, yep, I'm sure. So she starts to walk. She says goodbye. And my daughter's going this way. So I'm like torn. Who am I going to watch? Her to make sure she's going to where she's supposed to go, or my little girl? Well, I went and followed my little girl. So I watch her ride down the street, and we come back this way. And as we come back this way, Mrs. M is way past where she was supposed to go. So I said, come on, Harper, we've got to catch up to her. So we catch up to her, and she's blown away to see me again. You know, she forgot we just talked a few minutes ago. Just so cute, you know, so innocent. It's like I had two children on my hands. So I said to her, where are you going? You know, and at this point, I felt mean. I felt bad because I don't want to correct her. I don't want to tell her what she can and can't do. But now I'm thinking, who's watching her? You know, where is she headed to? And so I say, where are you going now? And she said, well, your next door neighbor's daughter just bought a house down the street. And I said, she did. That's true. So I'm thinking, man, maybe it is me who's confused today. I don't know what's going on. So she says, that's the house there with the garage door open. I said, it is. She said, that's where I'm going. I said, okay, then you're going home? She says, yes, then I'm going home. I said, okay, make sure you go home afterwards. Harper's gone. I have to go follow Harper again. You know, she goes back that way. Now we come back this way. Mrs. M blitzes right past the new house. She goes around the corner around the, you know, it's like a shoehorn. She goes, a horseshoe. She goes around the corner. It's like this big U. So I go to the corner. I catch up, and I stand there. I think, where in the world is she going? So I stand at the corner, and I watch her. It was the cutest thing ever. She gets to her backyard, backs up to the neighbor's house that she was standing in front of. She squares herself up to make sure that she was lined up with the back of her home. And she looks again. I watch her. I don't say anything this time. I don't want to scold her. I want to make sure I'm being respectful, you know. And so I see her, and she walks through the back lawn so slow and cutely back to her house. So I turn around with Harper. I'm like, okay, she's safe. I didn't want her to get hit by a car or something like that. So I come back with my daughter, and her husband now is outside. And so I said, good afternoon, Mr. M. How you doing? Are you looking for your wife? And he said, I am. He said, she asked me if it was okay if I went and seen the neighbor that was just a couple of doors down. That was over a half hour ago. She's not come home yet. I said, well, she just went around all the way around the block. If you turn around right now, by the time you get back to your house, she'll probably be entering into the house. So we had a laugh, and I said, is everything okay? And he said, she's, you know, starting to struggle a little bit. And he said, I just took comfort, though, in knowing that somebody was watching out for her. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm just glad that you guys are going to be good. Like, lock the doors and have a good night, you know. It was one of those types of things. And as this was happening, I was thinking, Lord, this must be, to some degree, what it's like trying to shepherd us. Like, you guide us, and you direct us, and you're gentle with us, and we abuse it sometimes. We go a little bit further than we're supposed to go, right? We take a little bit more paces than we're supposed to take, steps than we're supposed to take. I mean, maybe at the end of the day, we get to where he wants us to get, but we probably make him sweat a little bit. I mean, in that we go around instead of just going directly to what he asks us to do. Well, for me, I try my very best to just listen to exactly what Jesus says. I'm not saying that like boastfully, I'm not saying that arrogantly, and I'm not saying that I always do that. I'm just saying I seek to live my life just to do exactly what Jesus says. I really struggle when I don't. It messes me up. It messes up my flow of life. I want to do exactly what he tells me to do, even though eventually I might get to where he tells me to go. If I lollygag, I don't want to lollygag. I don't want to be chastised unnecessarily. I don't want to have to be corrected. I just want him to lead me with his eye. And I want to lead the church in that same way. I take it very seriously that I represent a wife and four children that I have to lead. But then you add to that all of you, and that's a heavy responsibility, and I don't just make flippant decisions, and I don't just do things haphazardly. I seek God on everything that I lead you guys into the best that I can. And I want to begin today by sharing with you from 1 Peter chapter 5. If you guys can bring up those verses on the screen, this is a verse that God has ministered to my heart since I took over pastoring this church. I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. If you notice here on the screen behind me, the first word is feed. It's an interesting word. He says here, Peter, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. But feed is a complex usage of word there that Peter has in this place because it means this. It means shepherd. It means to tend to a flock. It means to keep sheep. It means to rule. Listen, it means to govern. It means to nourish the flock of God that is among you. Listen to this. It means to cherish one's body. Cherish the body of Christ that is among you. You understanding here what he's saying? He says this, it means this, to serve the body, to supply the requisite for the soul's need. That's really good. To supply the requisite for the soul's need of the body of God. That's who this is. The body of God that's among you. Who? The pastor. So it doesn't matter to me what other churches do, what other denominations do, what other movements are doing. It's God, what do you want to do as I am your under shepherd? What do you want to do, God, with the flock that is yours, that is among me specifically? Like, what do you want to do here in this church? So he says, feed the flock of God. On my notes here, of God is highlighted, which is, again, highlighted among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, money, but of a ready mind. In other words, you can't be bought. You can't be swayed. You're God's man. So that's what I'm supposed to be, God's man, who's led by God, who's filled with God, who directs you in the ways of God. Listen, that's what we're to be, he says, as leaders of the church. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, here's the reason for it in verse 4. So that when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Like, the reward that you're going to do it for, he says to the pastor, is for God, and it's for eternal rewards. It's for eternal glory that you're going to lead the flock of God that's among you in the ways that he directs you to. So we think of this as a springboard this morning into the message. I guess what I want to do with you now is review quickly the Olivet Discourse found in Matthew 24. Look at what we've learned with a timeline. We're going to pull that up now and put that on the screen. If you guys would put up the timeline, the third one that I sent to you. The third one. We're going to look at that this morning and just get a graphic here of explanation concerning what we've studied, eschatology speaking, like as far as what's ahead and what Christ has already done. I'm going to use this in just a moment as a way to sort of give you a visual. So what we want to do is this. We want to say, okay, God, this is my job. This is what you've called me to do. I'm to shepherd the flock of yours, Lord. It's your flock that's among me. And I'm going to do it according to where you have us in human history. And we've been studying these things corporately for the last several of weeks. So let's look at what we've studied. Let's look at what we've learned. And then let's look at where we are. And in the light of where we are on this prophetic calendar, this prophetic schedule, God, where do you want us to be as a church? So it's going to be threefold. Review what God has spoken to me concerning this timeline, and then the plan that's going to be implemented, put in play as a result of all of this, okay? That's how we're going to look at that this morning. Now, let me say this to you before I start to use this thing. Is it showing up? There we go. I really just wanted to use this. It has nothing to do with anything else this morning. I just wanted to use my laser. Before we get into this morning, let me tell you this. The Olivet Discourse, I don't know if all of you understand this or know this, it continues in Matthew chapter 25. So if you've been reading ahead, which I think you should always do, before you come to church, you should read ahead the text that we're going to be in. Matthew 25 is a continuation of Matthew 24. The translators put a chapter and verse break. Jesus didn't. It's all one sermon. So for me to overly review in great detail what we've already learned is redundant, not to only what we've already done, but what we're going to do in the weeks to come. It's not necessary. We're going to do that inadvertently, indirectly, as we move into chapter 25 starting next week. So just let's look at this here this morning as a chart, as a way of review, to look at what we've learned, and then we'll look at what God wants us to do as a result. So you look over here in this area, the present age. What I like about this chart, which, by the way, this chart is over, this graphic here is over 100 years old. It's amazing how it lines up with our theology today. You look at here, it says the present age, the church. And you look at on top here, where it speaks of the seven churches concerning the letters that were written by Christ in the book of Revelation, in the opening portion of the book of Revelation. And it gives you the church age, the age of grace. That's what we are living in right now. We are in the age of grace. We are in the church age. Those seven letters that Christ writes in Revelation 2 and in Revelation 3, they speak to every era of the church from Pentecost all the way to the rapture of the church, which is what's next to come. It covers every, you know, the letter to the church of Ephesus, the letter of the church to Philadelphia, to Thyatira. You read through Sardis, all of those churches and the emphasis that Christ gives, it describes church history in entirety. It's the age of grace. It takes us from when Christ ascended back into heaven some 2,000 years ago, all the way till Christ will descend in the clouds and call us in the air to meet him. That's the age that we are living in right now. Jesus is still saving people. Jesus is still drawing people into the fold. You know, he's working by his Spirit. The Spirit of God is in this world, convicting this world, we are told in the book of Acts, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We saw last week a great ingathering with one of our own, Pastor Greg Laurie in Southern California. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people by the masses coming to Christ. And then we saw it on a smaller scale here, both in first and second service, dozens of people standing up, lifting their hands, responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What that tells us then is this, is that Jesus is still saving people. Jesus is still gathering sheep into the fold. He's still actively working during this time period. And it still means that there are more to be saved. Because if that weren't the case, the next step would have happened. Everyone with me? So we are in the age of grace. If you're a note taker, if you're trying to understand this prophetic timeline, it takes us again from the time that Christ ascended back into heaven after his first coming to earth, when he died on the cross for our sins and he rose again. It takes us from then till he descends in the clouds and he calls the church to meet him in the air. So that's where we are right now. The next thing on God's timeline is the rapture of the church, okay? Where we will be caught up at the end of the age of grace, at the end of the church age, where we will be snatched, seized like a thief in the night, man. It's gonna happen unexpectedly for some. It's gonna happen quickly in the twinkling, not the blinking, the twinkling of the eye, where the voice of the archangel, the trumpet will shout, and we'll hear those words from Jesus, come up hither. And we who are alive will be caught up, and we will go to be with those who've gone before us in Christ, and we will be with Jesus forevermore. Now, last week, there was some confusion. And preaching two services, it's like preaching at two churches. Sometimes I mix what I tell you and what I tell second service, and things come out differently at both services. So let me just be clear. I had some questions after one of the services last week. So, Pastor, are you suggesting that those who are dead in Christ are in the grave even right now? No, I'm not. What I'm saying is this, if you were to die today and Jesus doesn't rapture us today, I'm not saying you go in the ground and you stay there till the rapture. I'm saying this, your body gets buried there, but your soul, your spirit immediately is present with the Lord. Immediately. To be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. So I believe that is our hope. I'm saying this, when Jesus Christ descends in the clouds, your body resurrects and precedes those who are alive in Christ, and your body and your soul and spirit reunite and instantaneously are translated from mortality to immortality, okay? From that which is corrupted to that which will be incorruptible, and you will be given a heavenly body that is able to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what I'm suggesting to you. As we who are alive and remain, we will be translated, if you would. We will be transformed, if you would, at that same time in the air as we meet the Lord. We will go to be with him. And as you notice here in the top portion of this chart here, you'll notice the activities of heaven. Here, the author of this chart suggests that the Bema Seat of Christ, according to Romans 14 and 2 Corinthians 5, it will take place, where we will be given rewards for the things that we have done. You know, if they were with a pure heart and right intention, we'll receive crowns incorruptible. We'll receive rewards from Jesus for our activity here on earth. If it was, you know, out of vain motivation, if it was, you know, filled with ulterior motives, you know, just to be applauded by man, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It will burn up. That's what Paul's talking about when he writes to the Corinthian church. So activities like that for all of the church age will take place immediately after the rapture. Okay? There needs to be time for that to happen. On earth, we're going to see that the tribulation begins, and it's a 7-year period. Okay? The first 3.5 years, rather blissful, comparatively speaking, to the latter 3.5 years. They're not going to be blissful at all, though. Don't get it twisted. It is still the tribulation. It's just that that's the deception part, where the Antichrist shortly after the rapture will come on the scene with the answers. This son of perdition, this man of sin, the beast, as the book of Revelation calls him. He will be suave, he will be slick, he will be eloquent, he will be articulate, he will probably be handsome, fit. He will be the guy that the world looks to be its leader. He will bring together religions. He will bring together the economy. He will do amazing, outstanding things where he will woo the people and win the people, including God's people, the Jews. There will be some type of treaty that is made. The Bible tells us that Israel will make a treaty with death and hell, some type of an allowing them to build their temple, if that's not done already, their third temple, the reinstituting of the priesthood, the sacrifices, and at 3.5 years in to that 7-year period, we'll begin the 70th week that Daniel prophesies of in Daniel chapter 9, where the Antichrist will barge into the Holy of Holies of this temple of God, and he will set up an image of himself, and he will demand to be worshipped. If you are not one that takes that mark that he institutes there, the mark of the beast, 666, on your hand or on your forehead, you will go to the guillotine and you have your head chopped off and you'll be persecuted. A third of the nation of Israel will be destroyed during this time, and it's during this time that all hell literally breaks out on earth. All hell breaks out, breaks loose on earth in a way that is unparalleled by any event that has ever happened in human history. Everyone with me so far? I mean, I hope that you are. I hope that you're, I'm trying to be as simple as base and possible with as much detail that you need as possible. We're up here in heaven during this time, enjoying being rewarded for our works and our deeds, enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb, spoken of in Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9 specifically. We're at that feast with the Lord, that banqueting feast with Jesus, man. We're sitting with him and all of the saints of old. We're doing all of that in glory while this is happening here on earth to the earth dwellers. And then the wrath of the Lamb of God is poured out. There's three sets of seven judgments, as you see here in this amazing, brilliant drawing. There's the seven seal judgments, there's the seven trumpet judgments, there's the seven vile or bowl judgments that are terrible. Hell, you know, fire falling from sky, darkness, demons being loosed from the bottomless pit. I mean, it is going to be water being polluted, turned to blood. I mean, it is going to be horrendous. What happens here on this earth to the earth dwellers that reject Jesus Christ, which doesn't have to be any single one of you here today. We're in the age of grace. We're in the age of Jesus extending this invitation. Receive and believe and you will be saved. This is not designed for you. It's designed for Satan, his demons, and anyone else who takes stance with him. It's not supposed to be for you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water hit the ground.